The Lord Jesus Christ is truly wonderful. In fact, it is one of his names. In Isaiah 9 we read, his name shall be called Wonderful. The Bible which we are looking at, which we are having these talks from, the Book of Books, presents the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who is wonderful in every sense of the word. He is, in fact, the theme of the whole book from Genesis to Revelation. In the Old Testament, we have him set forth in promise, and in picture, and in psalm, and in prophecy. In the New Testament, we have him set forth in the Gospels in person, and also in his present place, and also as to the future prospect that we have in him our hope. The Lord Jesus himself, when he was here on earth, used the scriptures in his ministry. He referred to them throughout. He said, "Search the scriptures, for they testify of me." He remarked in connection with Abraham that Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. In regards to Moses, he said, "Moses wrote of me." Also referring to David, the king, "David called me Lord." Yes, the scriptures throughout set forth as the theme the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I would desire that you, if you have your Bible handy, would turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. We have a most beautiful picture here of the way the Lord Jesus used the scriptures. It's a very wonderful incident. We have, as you will notice, two of his disciples going the wrong way. They have left Jerusalem and are returning home on the day of the resurrection. They were going to Emmaus. The distance, I understand, was about 7.5 miles. Why were they going home? Well, they were disappointed. They were disheartened. They thought that the Lord Jesus, who was in their midst, was to have set up his kingdom in power. They did not realize, nor did they have faith to believe what Christ had often told them, that he must first of all die and then be raised again. But their hearts were darkened through unbelief. So they were treading their way homeward, going their own way, away from the proper place where they should have been. But we want to notice here that the Lord Jesus Christ goes after them. He finds them walking along the way. He comes to them. And he says, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" And one of them said, "Well, are you a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days?" And Jesus said unto them, "What things?" And they said, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done." And then the Lord Jesus, he says to them, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." I want you to notice that the Lord Jesus used the Old Testament scriptures to expound unto these two the things concerning himself. There's a beautiful ending to this story. The effect that the word had upon these two is readily seen. We know that when they drew near to their home, they constrained Jesus that he would come in. And there, as they were at the table, they broke bread. They realized who he was. And he vanished from their sight. And he went back to Jerusalem. And what did they do? Immediately, the same hour, they arose and went back to Jerusalem also. Their hearts had been touched and won. They had been restored, and they go back to where they should not have left. Now when they return, we read farther on down in the passage in verse 44. He said to them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." And then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." What wonderful words we have here. And you will notice that the Lord Jesus refers to the writings of the Old Testament as those which were concerning him. He began with Moses. Now Moses is the writer of the first five books of the Bible. Moses is the one who wrote of him. He is the one who gave the promise in Genesis the third chapter in regards to the seed of the woman who was to come and to bruise the head of the serpent. This is a most remarkable prophecy. After man had sinned, God provided a promise of a coming Redeemer. And we know that the fulfillment of that promise was in the coming into the world of the Lord Jesus Christ at Bethlehem, when he, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. That promise, beloved, has been fulfilled. Christ has been here. And then Moses also wrote in the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy in many pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrifice that were offered under the law were those that pictured the one who was to come, as Peter wrote, as a lamb that had been foreordained before the foundation of the world, to shed his blood for the redemption of mankind. Now the Old Testament is God's picture book, and it pictures Christ. Christ is the theme. And the sacrifices that were offered, oh, a multitude of them, those which in themselves indeed could not put away sin, those that had faith in a coming Redeemer, of which those sacrifices spoke, and they offered those sacrifices in faith as they looked forward to the coming of Christ. Yes, God saw their faith and he saved them on that basis. But all those scriptures of the sacrifices of the blood that was shed picture for us the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb without spot or blemish who came for the purpose of giving his life a ransom for mankind. And this has been done. This has been given. Christ has died on Calvary. He was there, the one who gave himself a ransom for your soul. John the Baptist had said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And on Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ finished the work of putting away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The Lord also said that the writings of the Psalms were concerning him. We have several Psalms in which Christ is the theme. 22, for instance, the very first verse, we see very clearly showing that it is the Spirit of Christ through the psalmist when we read, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In that marvelous chapter, speaking prophetically of the sufferings of the coming Savior, we have the very words which the Lord Jesus used on the cross when he, the divine sin bearer, was there forsaken by God that you and I might be brought into blessing. He was there going into the darkness, suffering for sins, the just for the unjust, that we might be brought to God. He was there bearing in his body our sins that he might bear them away through his sacrificial death. And so in Psalm 22, we also have figured for us there in that remarkable psalm the scripture that says, they pierced my hands and my feet. That which was definitely, clearly, and absolutely fulfilled at Calvary, when there, as the victim for sin, he was raised up on that cross. His hands were pierced, his feet were pierced, his brow was pierced with many a thorn. And then a soldier with a spear came and pierced his side, from which came there out blood and water. Psalm 40 also sets him forth as the all-obedient one who came to offer himself without spot to God, the one who came to do the Father's will. And then Psalm 69, we have him set forth as the sin offering, the trespass offering, the one who restored what he took not away. You know, God has been injured because of sin. Sin has been against him. And you know, that has been repaired, thank God, through the sacrifice of Christ. What we have done against God, the Lord Jesus Christ has made right. He has restored what our sins took away. And there in that remarkable Psalm 69, we see our blessed Savior in the Spirit speaking through the psalmist. When he looked for pity and for comforters, there was none. We see him there suffering alone at the hands of a righteous God for our sin. Now the Lord Jesus also refers to the prophets that spoke of him. They prophesied of him as the one who was to come. And perhaps one of the most clear of the prophets is Isaiah himself. Isaiah has been called the gospel prophet, the gospeler of the Old Testament. And in the 53rd chapter, we certainly could ask for nothing clearer as to that which sets him forth as the coming deliverer for all mankind. You'll notice it says in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I wonder if our hearer has included himself in this first all of the verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. This is true of all mankind. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Sin is doing our own will. Did you know that? We have varying ideas as to just what sin is. But the essence of sin is this. It's doing our own will and wanting to do it. Sin is lawlessness, is a new translation of 1 John chapter 3. Sin is that principle of willfulness. We want our own way. Isaiah prophesied that this is true of all of us. We have turned everyone to our own way. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who came that he might have this iniquity. For it is iniquity. Sin is iniquity. It's against God. The enmity, the willfulness, the rebellion. Now the Lord Jesus Christ bore the iniquity of us all at Calvary. In fact, God, a holy God who hates sin, but a loving God who loves the sinner, placed on Jesus at Calvary the iniquity of us all. And how wonderful to read in this same prophecy, verse 5, where it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. What a marvelous verse that is. I wonder if the reader has put his name in there. Not just simply saying he was wounded for our transgressions. God would have you put your name in there. He was wounded for my transgressions. Your transgressions, he was wounded for. Your iniquities, he was bruised for. That you might have peace, he was chastised. Will you believe that? Believing this, beloved friend, is what brings you into the blessing of God. And this message of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ is brought in promise, in picture, in psalm, in prophecy. This is what the Lord spoke of and what he expounded to these two on the way to Emmaus. This message is what reached their hearts. It turned them right about, and they went back to Jerusalem. And the Lord Jesus in Luke 24, he mentions that the purpose of this ministry today, this ministry concerning Christ, crucified and raised from the dead, for the Savior who died is alive. He arose the third day according to those same scriptures. And from the opened heaven and through the open Bible, the scriptures, it is God's way of reaching men today. Written, he says, it has behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Why? That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. What is repentance? It is the acknowledging of our wrong before God. It is that sorrow of heart that turns us to him and tells him that we have sinned. It is that which is wrought in us through the conviction of the Spirit of God using the Word. Do you believe what God says about you, that you have gone astray? Do you believe that you have sinned against him? Our repentance to God is owning that. And then you notice remission of sins is preached. You need forgiveness. We need forgiveness. And God offers us forgiveness. Forgiveness of our sins is necessary if we are to enter heaven. You're going to leave this life maybe sooner than you realize. Or the Lord himself is going to come, perhaps before this broadcast is over. Will you be ready? You are not ready if your sins are unforgiven. But beloved, here, you may have the forgiveness of your sins right now. Forgiveness of sins is preached unto you. Peter, when he was in the household of Cornelius, was bringing the message of this same Jesus that we are setting forth in his word. And while he spake, he said, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission or forgiveness of sins. And at that very moment, there were many in that house that believed. I trust that at this very moment, that there is a listener who will hear the words of God and believe. Won't you come to Christ? Won't you believe on him? You may have forgiveness of sins. You need it. It's the greatest blessing that can come to a man, and one of absolute necessity. You must have your sins forgiven. Well, that's what Jesus died to procure for you. And you notice, it's in his name. In his name, remissions of sins is preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. God grant that you will hear this message today. The one whose name is wonderful in salvation. Wonderful. And he is the one that wants you. Won't you come to him? We're going to sing a song entitled, Why Will You Do Without Him? And I can't help but wonder as we sing it, how anyone could do without the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do without him in eternity. How can you get along without him? You need not. He wants you. You may have him by coming to him. And remember, coming to him is believing on him, trusting him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.